Welcome back into the Eric Cain Show. We got one more hour to go here. I feel like I'm doing all right today. On the way in, Brian, I was a little concerned or skeptical of my abilities today.
Okay.
Two-year-old's been having a rough time, which means dad's having a rough time. But I feel like I've been okay. I've only complained to Logan like three or four times.
True.
I fixed the on-air light.
You did by hitting
and
it.
And I'm with you in unison jointly together. We are talking about Knox 50, Papa Murphy's. You can get 50% off your online pizza order.
Yeah, Papa Murphy's bringing you the show today. We appreciate them and their support of both us and of Tennessee football. But they make it, you bake it. It's Papa Murphy's.
Boom.
Right now, we start the final hour of the show as we do each Wednesday. It's time for a little over-under. Logan has the odds. We have the numbers, thanks to Avalon Golf and Country Club.
I'm going under on everything.
Logan, what do you have for us?
Alrighty, guys. Tennessee's highest point total under Jeremy Pruitt was 59 against ETSU in 2018. Over-under on the Vols' total score on Saturday, 58.5.
Can they beat the best total
first,
of the
Logan,
Pruitt
you
era?
Go second, I'll go third.
Give me 60.
Really?
Give me 60. Tennessee's going for 60. Give me over.
Ew.
I'm going to go under because I think
that's what you do.
No, because I think late in the game, run the clock out, just run the ball, get the game over with. No one gets rolled up. And looking at our score forward, no one has them going over 56. So I'm going to go under.
They're picking with their head, not their heart. This is all about your heart.
And my heart tells me under. Hard under. We're not scoring over 50.
All right, next one. The Vols defense has yet to force a turnover this season. Total turnovers forced this season over under 10.5.
They played Harrison Bailey that scored more than 50
points. Oh, gosh. You truth or bah.
That's a little over one a game if they were to hit the over.
He'll go in and the poor kid will just have to hand the ball off the whole time.
Yeah. Turnovers, though. Haven't forced one yet this year. Seems to be alarming.
We're getting close.
Yeah. Can they do one a game the rest of the way?
I don't think so. Listen.
I'm going to take the under as well.
Go ahead, Logan.
Yeah, under as well. I mean, they're going to have to play some really good offenses. Florida, Georgia, Alabama, Ole Miss. I don't think so.
Maybe they hit five this week. But
yeah, that would help them. It still wouldn't be a guarantee. I don't know. Our defense, as of right now, is not the swarming in the backfield caliber. You know, Aaron Rodgers getting hit as he's throwing the ball, hit between the legs as he's throwing the ball. Like, if you have to affect the quarterback more to have more opportunities to get interceptions. And I feel like that's the low-hanging fruit is how many picks. I don't think they're going to force very many picks. I'm just being honest. I don't think they will. But strip sacks, getting the ball out, maybe we'll see. But I'm going to take the under in that. I think there's a lot of really good football teams that you'll just have to put a big X on it.
James Franklin is listed as the front runner for the open USC job. Assuming he takes the job, over under on the years Franklin's tenure lasts at USC, 5.5.
Is that real? I mean, is that like a thing? Like, I'm sure if I were him, he seems like a bounce around guy a little bit.
I think it's time for him to reset his clock. I think
he still has a good brand and could get that job.
He flirted very heavily with taking this job.
Yeah.
Whether people want to believe it or not.
You know, I'm older and wiser now. I wouldn't have cared if he took the job.
I think if they want him, he will go to USC. Now, the question that this asks is, will he be successful there? Because everybody gets 4 years. He'd probably get five because of who he is. Can anybody be that successful out there?
I don't know.
It's a hard place to live, too.
California? I'll take the over.
That's true.
I'll take the over because I think if he got there, he would have enough success that they would not want to run him out like they did Clay Helton. But I don't feel good about it.
For 3 or 4 years after they should have fired him.
Yeah, you're right. Well, at least for 2 years.
At least, yeah. The last two for sure.
Yeah, I'll go over as well. I mean, I think James Franklin, he's a good coach. I don't know how he won at all at Vanderbilt and Penn State.
Because we were all terrible.
Well, yes, that's true. I mean, Penn State has been solid. I don't think he's reached his ceiling there of what he could accomplish, but hey, they're really good this year. So I would say over if he was to take this job.
So first part of my answer is he should take that job if they offer it to him. Mm-hmm. I do think that would be a smart move for him. Second, I do think he'll stay there long. I mean, other than Vandy, because he bolted because he got the Penn State job, and that's what you do at Vandy. It's a springboard job. It's like Arkansas State. You go coach there, and you do well. Holy cow, you're getting hired. I feel like Franklin at USC is good. Like, you got Chip Kelly at UCLA. You have Oregon that's a, you know, they're legit. Utah every 2 or 4 years is really, really good. But that's about it. Oregon State's terrible. Washington State's terrible. Washington's terrible. Cal's terrible. Arizona is okay. Arizona
State's
a little.
So if you recruit decently, you can steamroll everybody that's not in Oregon.
I mean, you literally, yeah. If you go to USC and you have a brand and you are legit and you go there, you have the first pick of all of those California kids. And literally, you could just have an entire roster of them. It's like Texas. You don't even have to leave the state. There's too many players for you to get that are good enough every single year. So, you know, you get the occasional guys poached and all that stuff, but I think he'd do well there. I think he would win there.
So let me reset this question here. Luke Fickell over under 5.5 years at USC if he were to get the job.
I think Luke Fickell will be a very good head coach, but I need to see it somewhere other than Cincinnati before I buy that he's somewhere other than Cincinnati for 5+ years.
I agree.
Does that make sense?
I agree, yeah.
I mean, I would have taken, if Luke Fickell had wanted to come here last year during our coaching search, sign me up for that right away.
I would have taken him for sure.
Do I know for sure that he's going to be a success that will be at a Power 5 program for 5 years? Sure don't.
Well,
impossible to predict.
So if he doesn't get one of those jobs, Fickell will be at Cincinnati. They're not getting rid of him ever.
No.
So he'll be there, and then, what is it, 2023 we're talking about? The American becomes the Big 12?
Yeah.
I mean, if he doesn't have to, it's kind of like the whole Heupel thing we were talking about. We're like, whoa. Heupel probably would not have left.
He may not have.
With a 12-team playoff or getting put in the Big 12. That's his jam, right? I mean, so I don't think Fickell will leave. You know, Gus could have tons of success at UCF. Well, he's going to be in the Big 12. He doesn't have to go anywhere else.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know you get bigger contracts other places. Cincinnati, just because they're going to the Big 12, doesn't mean they're immediately paying a guy $6 million a year to be the head coach. But if you're worth it, if you build it, they will come. If you're worth it. The money comes. The money.
All righty, guys. Last one. Ohio State took its first loss of the season to Oregon in their conference at home opener last Saturday. Number of losses for the Buckeyes in this season, 2.5.
See, this is a good question because they looked terrible opening night against Minnesota.
But both, yes.
And then they come out and are basically non-competitive against Oregon. Oregon controlled the whole game.
Without their best player.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I mean,
pressure. Remember, Ohio State.
They have
top five team. Pressure.
They have Penn State at home. Michigan doesn't look bad, but Michigan's probably got a mental block against them. Otherwise, it's at Indiana. I'm going to take the under just because I don't know that even as bad as they looked the first two games that they can lose to, I mean, maybe Maryland. Indiana's not as good as they were before. Penn State went 0-5 last year. Penn State beats Auburn this weekend. I might feel differently about that game, but again, it's at home. They have to go to Michigan and close out the year. I'll take the under, but again, I don't feel great about it.
I'll take the under as well because they have massive, massive problems on defense and particularly at linebacker. The schedule's not tough, but November 20th, guys, Michigan State. Michigan State's a very, very good football team. They're not great, but they are a good, very solid football team. So I'll take the under. I think they lose one more.
I'm going to take the under, too. Here's the thing with being at Ohio State right now. All you do is win. That's literally all you do. You might lose a game a year, and if you do, it's in the playoff. They've already lost, and they looked pedestrian in game one. So the pressure on Ryan Day and the Ohio State fans. And I was around one, Pastor Joe Eaton, a really good friend of mine out in Talbot, Tennessee, Ohio State guy, born and raised, lives here. And he was like, oh, I don't know. Like, he was so frustrated already. One loss. That's going to happen to the players and the coaches, too. And then you press. Here's the other thing. One of the reasons why Michigan can never beat them is because there's never blood in the water. Michigan is going into that week, and it's a foregone conclusion that Ohio State is rolling, and they don't have a shot. If Michigan or Michigan State or any of these teams smell blood in the water, a vulnerability, if you will, with Ohio State, they won't be afraid at all. They'll be blitzing they'll be going 100 miles an hour, and Ohio State's going to have to play that. Well, we don't want to lose the game. that those games happen. The good team, a little banged up, not very good, not as good as they were the year before. You're on your heels, and the other team smells blood, and here they come, and you end up losing the game. I've been in that before. I've lived that. I've watched it in the NFL in a couple games that we played. You're rolling, and then you get spanked, and then you wonder, and then the next team you go, they're doing stuff you hadn't even seen. They're blitzing every single play. They're just shot out of a cannon to beat you. So, I don't know, man. They're definitely going to lose a couple more games, for sure. I think so.
And that's how we play over-under, and each Wednesday it's thanks to our friends at Avalon.
Avalon Golf and Country Club. Always a tee time available, not because it's not full, but because they make sure that they work you in. Whatever your twosome, foursome, any some that you want to go play with, go there, and they have the member range and the driving range and everything you can go do there. Golf carts with the GPS in them. It's a great time, great course. I'm over there all the time.
Before we take a break, let's talk to Mike. Mike, welcome into the Eric Haines Show. Thanks for holding through the top of the hour.
Thanks, fellas. Great show, long-time listener. Hey, let me say something here. I love Joe Milton. Bazooka Joe, baby. Probably got, what do you think, Eric? He got the strongest arm in the SEC.
Not even close, yes.
Hey, listen, when he hits one of those long balls, that'll be it. It'll erupt. And we're going to beat some people we're not supposed to this year when he does. I promise you that. You know it. I mean, we would have bit Pitt at least two touchdowns if he had hit a couple of those. And I believe in all my heart, he will do it. He'll be, man. I think people ought to, you know, wake up and relax, get behind this kid, because he's going to do it. He's going to do it.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking. No, Mike, you're good, brother. Check it out. So, like, I agree. Literally, all you have to do when you're struggling with something to get out of a slump, what do you have to do? You got to get a hit.
That's right.
That's it. He just has to, if he completes one of them, then it'll leave his mind and he'll be playing free, and then that won't be a weakness. I'm not kidding. That has never been a weakness at Michigan. It has not been here. It has not been in training camp. It has not been anything. But then you miss a couple, and a couple turns to four, and then you play the next game, and you miss a couple more, and the next thing you know, you're thinking, I can't throw the deep ball. And he can. Right. And he just has to hit one.
It's just between his ears, man.
Yep.
That's all it is. That's all it is. And that's all he needs is hit one, he gets his confidence, he'll hit another. You'll see. We'll all see. And then
I'm with you, Mike.
You know. Anyway, thanks, fellas. Great show.
Thanks, Mike. Yeah, my other option for them was to, like, get one of your bigger players, like, right before you go out for every drive, lift up Milton's right arm shoulder pad and give him the worst dead arm he's ever had in his entire life. I mean, like, cock back and boom, Matthew Butler. Go take Joe's right shoulder, lift his pad, and numb his whole arm. You gave him such a dead arm with the shoulder punch. And then go call the deep ball.
Yeah,
so, or, like, you know, when the players who separate their shoulders, you know, not quarterbacks, but they put those things, you can tell it's, like, wrapped. It keeps their arm from going all the way back. Put a shoulder wrap, like he dislocated his right arm, but he didn't. And he won't be able to cock it back as far. Both non-realistic, super fun options.
All right, we'll come back. More of your phone calls next, 656-9900, 866-656-9900. The Eric Haines Show is brought to you today by Papa Murphy's.
Yeah.
Great promotion with Papa Murphy's right now. All football season long, visit PapaMurphy's.com. Use the code KNOX50 at checkout to get 50% off your online pizza order this football season. Don't forget about Papa Murphy's Tuesdays, a large made-to-order pizza for only $10.99. The Eric Haines Show continues next.
22 Logan years Bachelor. Old. Logan Bachelor. We'll figure it out there. Did it for Caner and he got a girlfriend. I don't think he kept her, though.
I think he's still.
Did he kill with her? Does he still? I don't know. You never talk about it.
Yeah.
You have to give us all your dating life at all times on the radio.
Yeah.
No holding back.
We'll see.
Thank you.
Swipe.
But, ladies.
Which way do you swipe for? Yes.
If you're, do you swipe left for no?
Swipe right.
Swipe right.
Swipe right for yes.
Correct.
Eric,
you and I will die and we'll never have done that. Yeah.
You know how long I remember things. I will remember that for about 4 minutes.
Swipe right, yes.
656-9900, 866-656-9900. Mike is up first. Mike, welcome into the Eric Haines Show. Mike, are you with us?
Blue 48.
Mike going once. Mike going twice. Mike, give us
delay
another
game
shot.
Penalty. Delay game penalty.
Nick is up next. Nick, welcome into the Eric Haines Show.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing today?
What's up, dude?
Hey, I listened to y'all
every day. Brian, I want to start with you. I think about three times a week, I think about that time that guy called in and called you Brandon. And it is just as funny to me as it was the day it happened.
He's been called worse in this studio.
Yes,
he has been called worse.
Close enough.
Ainge, was it Aaron Beasley or Aaron Willis that you were really high on during camp?
Willis, I like him, dude. I like his film. I mean, he hasn't really popped yet, but I think he's a good player.
Well, did you guys get a chance to look at the depth chart that they released yesterday for the Tech game?
I have not, but I have not looked at it compared to weeks prior, but I can do that right now.
Okay. Well, I'm just curious. I didn't see Aaron Willis either on the two deep or the three deep in certain positions that they had.
He's little. He's small. He to me is a guy that is. He almost looked like he could have been a free safety coming in, and then like back in the day with Chavis and Fulmer. You recruit a safety to be a linebacker. You recruit a running back to be a linebacker. And next thing you know, you got the fastest linebackers in the entire country. I think he's got that in him, but he's not big enough and he needs to learn a little different.
He's a true freshman, right?
Yeah.
You think he'll just be a red shirt year this year and let him get some meat on him?
I would imagine so. I mean, the guys we have playing right now at linebacker, I think are playing really good. I mean, they're playing better than I thought they would.
No,
I mean,
I agree.
I will say this. In the entire two deep, in looking at the one from yesterday, because I had looked at this earlier in the year and I wanted to get my eyes on it.
Hold on,
let me
guess. Harrison Bailey, starting quarterback.
No. There are only two freshmen on the two deep, period. Walker Merrill at wide receiver and Jalen Wright at running back. There are no other freshmen on the two deep at all. I think.
Yeah, no, I didn't realize that when I looked at it yesterday, but now that you say that you're right.
There are four graduates on the defense, and there are six graduates on the offense in the two deep. Some of them are backups. And so I think when you have the level of experience that's on this football team, even with what has transferred out, I think they are taking a very slow and methodical approach with the freshmen on this team to make sure that they are in good position to play when they go out there and play. That's just my opinion.
Which is ideal, obviously. And sure. When's the last time we've been able to do that, right? I mean, it's been a few years.
Yeah, you're relying on three or four freshmen every year for the last half a decade, at least. And that's not how healthy football programs work. And I'm not saying the Tennessee's is a healthy football program right now, because it's not. But Josh Heupel's trying to get it better, and I think not putting your freshmen out there in positions where they are outmatched physically or outmatched mentally, it sets them up
for failure from the beginning.
Exactly.
Two more quick things, guys, and I'll get off. Does it feel like to you that this coaching staff is getting the absolute most, maybe not always the best, but the absolute most that they can get out of their current roster?
They're getting the most out of them from a physical standpoint and 90% of it from a play standpoint. Jeremy Banks is the guy I'm going to keep pointing to. Jeremy Banks was in both games all over the entire field. He's in the backfield. He's blitzing. Now, he's going to get a block in the back penalty. He's going to get a hands to the face penalty every once in a while. Like, you have to hold the reins on him. But thank God, like, as a football guy, give me the guy you have to put the reins on a little bit from punching a guy after they push him back. Like, give me that guy. That guy can play at a level that other guys can't. Yeah. Like, we feel like, I don't know. I'm not saying I want our guys to be dirty or like get penalties, do fighting and stuff like that. But all the teams I played on, man, like, if you hit a guy a little bit late, you got hit by two guys on the next play, whether it made it work or not. It was like an aggression, anger type blitzing in your face. Like, play calling determines attitude 100%. And I love that Jeremy Banks right now, and their aggressiveness that they have, they're allowing those guys on defense to play like that. Now, they need to play smarter. They've only played two games, though, but Jeremy Banks looks 10 times smarter than he did in 2 years, in two games. So give me that all day long. That, and if he can't get it done, then put Bailey at linebacker, and, you know, if Bailey goes out there at linebacker, he could be the best linebacker.
Nick, we appreciate it. Good questions, good stuff. Let's talk to Luke. Luke, you're on the Hurricane Show.
Hey, guys, enjoying your show. I'm listening to y'all on my app from North Florida.
Attaboy.
I got a question for you. I'm kind of looking ahead to this Florida game. Do we want to catch Florida after just being demolished by Alabama, or in a close loss, or Florida upsetting them? Which one would be better for Tennessee to catch them, or does it even matter? What's your guys' thought?
I don't think in the grand scheme of things, after a series on both teams, no one's going to even know or care at all. It affects the next week of practice. So I would say I would love for Bama to just show them the 50 states, beat them by 30, and then we'll come back here, and then they'll be beat up. They'll be emotionally sad. They got their butts kicked, and that can affect their week of preparation leading into the Tennessee game. To whereas us, we're going to beat Tennessee Tech, and it's going to be all good vibes. This is how we're going to go beat Florida. The fact that it's a home game helps them a little bit. But yeah, I mean, if they beat them, then they're not, at that point, if Florida beats Bama, they're going to be thinking national championship. They're going to be thinking, there's no way they're overlooking a Tennessee team with a first-year head coach. And I don't think they will anyway. Dan Mullen, good coaches don't let that happen in big games. So I don't think it would matter too much, but it could affect the week of preparation a little bit, the stress on the players. If both quarterbacks play terrible for Florida, put a little doubt in their mind going into the next game. I mean, there's a lot of reasons why teams, when they play Bama the next week that they have to play, they don't play as good. It's not just physical, it's emotional.
Okay. One more thing I wanted to ask you. With Tyon Evans was out against Pitt, I feel like a lot of people seem to forget that was another weapon on our offense that we didn't have. Had he would have played, would you say that he was good, a running back like him, was he probably good for at least 7 to 10 points, just him?
I think if he takes the ball with 1 yard to go, and again, the play was drawn up for the quarterback to keep it, but regardless, I feel better about his ability to get 1 yard than anybody else. I mean, and especially...
To be honest, if you had Evans or Small right there, I don't know that the play call of running the fake handoff to keep it around the edge for the quarterback, I don't even think you do that. I think you put him back there and you just hand him the ball and let him go leap over the top.
Jalen Wright did a great job, but Jalen Wright was the only running back that played in the second half. I have to think that Tyon Evans is worth one or two plays at minimum.
Hey, no, he played good.
Where you get
I'm
better.
Not taking away from him.
Right,
freshman, Jalen Wright, he did good.
But having Tyon Evans in there would have made a difference.
Especially in that yardage.
And again, it's not a moral victory. Everybody hear me say it's not a moral victory, but the fact that you were within 7 with the number of offensive weapons that you were without by the end of that game is, I think, a credit to the coaching staff and, most importantly, the players that played.
Listen to this real quick. All that Hooker had to do was call a run play and then go get under center and not tell anybody he was going to do a quarterback sneak and then do a quarterback sneak, and then they would have scored a touchdown because we would have fumbled. Oh, wait, we've done that before.
Luke, thanks so much.
He still didn't do what he was supposed to. Like, just keep the ball and go score.
Luke, keep fighting the good fight for us up in North Florida. Hopefully you'll have something to talk to your friends about next week. We'll come back. More of the Eric Haines shows next. We're brought to you today by Papa Murphy's Pizza. They make it, you bake it. It's Papa Murphy's, and this is the Eric Haines Show.
The great thing about sports is it never stops. Here's another 60-second sports minute on the Sports Animal.
Major League Baseball scores last night. The Braves fell to the Rockies 5-4. The Cubs took down the Phillies 6-3. The Reds lost to the Pirates 6-5. And the Yankees beat the Orioles 7-2. In the NBA, the Houston Rockets and John Wall have agreed to find a trade deal with another team. In the NFL, the New Orleans Saints have had 8 members of their organization test positive for COVID-19. And that calls their status into question. The Saints take on the Carolina Panthers this Sunday. 49er running back Raheem Mostert will miss the rest of the season and will have season-ending surgery on his knee. He injured that knee Sunday against the Lions and left the game. The Broncos have placed wide receiver Jerry Jeudy and cornerback Ronald Darby on the IR, and the Bills are requiring all fans to be vaccinated against COVID-19 to attend home games for the rest of the season. Have a good morning. I'm Logan Ward.
I'm never going to put it on live. People are always like, you guys always talk about the breaks. And I'm like, if there's a video camera, then it's not the break.
That's true.
It's sure. only when we can say stuff that Logan's live tweeting on some burner account that we don't even know right now.
All right, let's see if Mike is there. Mike, welcome into the Eric Haines Show. Mike going once. Going twice.
Hard three.
We tried.
Normally I get them when that happens.
Yeah.
I even gave him the hard Mike. Three.
We tried twice.
Yeah, we did.
Did you see what Aaron Rodgers said about his interception on Saturday? You
feed me with it, because just do it.
Aaron Rodgers on the Pat McAfee Show yesterday, quote, "For those of you who went back and watched it, I don't like to make excuses for interceptions. One was entirely due to the double nut shot I took. Quote, that was a painful one. They got their money's worth on me.
Double unquote. Nut. Like they got both of them, that's not just one of them. He had to specify how many of them got hit.
That's what he said.
Okay, but if it was just a left one, mm-hmm. would it have been a pick?
I don't know.
The double nut kick is mm-hmm. what got him the interception.
Yes.
Listen, I love Aaron Rodgers' game. I think he is a top five quarterback in the history of football with what he can do with a football. It's insane. It always has been. He even did it last year. Best player in the league. He's the worst, though.
Yeah.
Like, of all the people that, you know, people would think is cool, if you had like a, you know, NFL, you got to go sit with a couple quarterbacks in the league, and you rode with one, and I rode with one, and we got to go out with a couple starting quarterbacks. Aaron Rodgers is literally the last person that I would pick to ride in a golf cart and play golf with. And that's the thing, right? Like, if you're going to sit with somebody, you like them, you know? No one ever goes golfing with people they don't like. That's not a thing. So, unless you're DeChambeau and... who's the other guy? Kepka.
Yeah.
Yeah. They full on hate each other, but they're getting paid millions of dollars to play golf.
Speaking of the NFL, Urban Meyer has addressed USC rumors. He said, quote, no chance, unquote.
How do people like, he's a first year head coach in the NFL.
Because there are all these reports that he's already.
Well, yeah, I'm sure he's probably. Yeah, I get that, but he's going to coach the year. Right? How long was Saban in Miami? A couple years, right?
Two years. Yeah. Spurrier, I think, was 2 years.
2 years as well. Yeah. Both probably knew after the first one they didn't want to do it anymore. And they bolted as soon as they could. I don't think that's ridiculous to see happen. I mean, I could see him coaching this year. He's got Shoddy over there, who's a good offensive coordinator. He's got Trevor Lawrence, who has a long way to go in the NFL, but he's still an incredible talent. 2 years and then back to wherever. If you could have Urban Meyer pick one college job, what would it be? For personal, like, what would you like gain? You'd love it. It'd be fun.
Texas. It would have been Texas.
You think so?
Because he would have been good, but the stress would have been too much. It would have been a lot like Ohio State. They would have been successful, but it would have worn him out.
You want to know mine?
Yes.
Michigan.
Really? Just because
it's
full turn heel after being at Ohio State.
Yeah. I'm good with that. I would even think Penn State would be okay, but he's also been a little too liberal with the following of laws.
I'm gonna say so with their history, he does not need to go to Penn State.
Yeah. I mean, he's a loose, you know. Things to Urban Meyer with his players as far as the legality of their decisions that they make. In his mind, there's always a little gray area.
Yeah.
Sometimes when people shoot people,
mm-hmm.
there's no gray area, mm-hmm. Aaron Hernandez.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't. That is such a product of the time. You could never get away with that now.
Aaron Hernandez would have been done when he shot the guy in the face.
That's what I'm saying.
In Florida.
And yeah. And it basically, with his law firm buddy and everybody down there, it got.
You never even knew about it until years later.
Yeah.
The NFL didn't know about it when they were drafting.
Yeah, no. We all should have known it when his celebration after he caught a touchdown was to cock a 9mm gun on his hand.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of a tell there. That's Logan's guy, though. That's Logan's buddy.
Mm-hmm.
Go Gators. I don't want to put too much of that out there. I feel like he'll receive the full-on hate.
Yeah.
But listen, right now he's the starter, isn't he? Could Harrison Bailey come in and do a better job than Logan? I don't think so. I'm not sure. I don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying. Logan's laughing. I don't care who the quarterback is. I don't care what Aaron Rodgers said.
Just want to win.
bottom line, like, no one cared. Like, that comment, just if they win the game, is hysterical, right? I mean, on that one pick I threw, I got hit in the nuts. On those four touchdowns I threw, I didn't. And we won the game. There's no person in sports with more pressure on them right now than Aaron Rodgers. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
With the offseason he had, all the condescending back and forth, diva-ness over the years, in general, there's nobody with more pressure on them to play good. I also don't think it'll affect him. And if he wants to just be done after the end, he'll be done.
Yeah.
But that's, I feel like that's part of it. Like, he has the honey badger attitude, but like, that's not great when you're, that's fun if you win.
Yeah.
Mac Jones taking his shirt off, smoking a cigar in the locker room with the belly of a 35-year-old is fun. Why? Because they went undefeated and won a national championship. If he got sacked because he couldn't get away from somebody, and they'll look at it, he's not even in shape. People point out crazy stuff all the time.
All right, we come back. 656-9900. We wrap up the Eric Gaines Show next. We're brought to you today thanks to Papa Murphy's Pizza. Don't forget about Papa Murphy's Tuesdays. A large made-to-order pizza, only $10.99. Great specials every day of the week. Check them out online. PapaMurphys.com. Change the way you pizza. We wrap things up next.
Welcome back into the Eric Gaines Show. It's that time of the day. We wrap her up, put a bow on it, and get ready for the next part of the day here, which in Knoxville is Josh and Heather.
A special edition, though, today up in the Tri-Cities. Bobby Raider will have the Midday Monster live from Planet Fitness in Elizabethton today.
Oh, nice.
From noon to 3. So,
where's Elizabethton?
So, Bobby,
I've been there.
It's where Jason Witten's from.
Yeah, that's why I went to his camp right when I was in college.
Yeah, make a right and keep going.
Why did I feel like it was so much farther?
It's real far.
Like 2.5 hours?
Once you get off, it's like 2 hours. Once you get off the interstate at Tri-Cities Crossing, it's a piece. But
in 2006, would I have been using GPS on my phone?
No, I don't think we even had MapQuest. Yeah.
Logan's looking like, I don't even know what MapQuest is. Have you really?
Like back when I was in like 7th grade.
So join Bobby Raider for a special edition of the Midday Monster at Planet Fitness in Elizabethton in the Tri-Cities.
That's a whole lot of talking.
He is joining us finally in disrespecting Jim Rome.
Oh my gosh. Your station sucks. Gracious. Well, Logan, let's start with you, dude. What did you learn today?
We learned that there are still some Harrison Bailey truthers out there.
There are.
Yeah.
That no matter what they see with their eyes, or, you know, obviously, guys, the spring game means so much to everybody.
No, hit them with your and the every one coach. You hit with there, Brian, about the spring game.
Oh, I saw this on a message board last night, so I cannot take credit for it. But by the same token, why is Jack Jancic not getting an opportunity in at wide receiver? He was clearly the best wide receiver in the spring game. So why is he not getting a fair shake right now? He's only seen the field once against Bowling Green. I think he should be out there more. That was somebody's
and
tongue-in-cheek take on a message board last night. And I sat there on my couch and laughed out loud because it's the same thing.
Here's the thing. I don't mind people that want another quarterback. Here's another thing we learned about that we talked about today. I'll start it off. Listen, first off, if you're a baller, then the system fits you. It is tailored to you because you are amazing. And they're going to do what you need to do because you're the one that has to be on the field because you're that much better. That is not Harrison Bailey right now. So it's not him right now. Why do I feel like a lot of the truthers are like almost rooting against Milton or Hooker having success? Because they want Bailey to be out there so bad. You got to chickity check yourself before you riggity wreck yourself on that one. That's nuts. Listen. Do I like Bailey's game more than Milton's? I don't know. Maybe. I mean, he plays more like I did. So, I don't know. I could see myself doing that. But here's the thing. I want the guy on the field that the entire football team and the coaching staff want on the field. If you have a guy out there, like Dobbs, he got a little bit of this in his sophomore year when he came in and started playing. And very quickly, yet again, the football team wanted him out there.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next year, so that would have been 14. So in 15, he's the guy. And in 16, he's an all-conference player setting records at UT. Part of what matters and who you put on the field as a for your quarterback is what do the other 100 players, walk-ons, everywhere, what do the other 70 scholarship players think of your choice to put so-and-so at quarterback? If it's unanimous or almost unanimous, then you're making the right decision. On that team, I swear, if Heupel took Bailey, put him out there and put Milton and Hooker on the sideline, that would do so much more damage for him operating the football team than it would to do what the team thinks, and that is to have... That's why Pruitt had to put JG back in. Everyone's favorite player, Juwan Jennings, went to Pruitt and said, that's the guy. We have the best chance to win with him. We're probably not going to win with any of them, but we want him. So what did Pruitt do? He put him back in, even though he had already written him off. Once the team, and even Pruitt knew that. Once the team wants somebody out there, if you don't put him out there, you cause a problem. And only time teams do that is when it's that obvious that somebody else should be playing. Like right now, I'll bet after the game two, you might get 25% Hooker. Maybe 30, 40% of the team might think, Hooker. The other ones are all on Milton. Bailey's not in the who would his teammates pick to play? He's not the guy.
Did the coaches do a disservice to our expectations by saying that it was this close competition all the way until
Yeah, because it wasn't. You do this with me every day.
And we talked about it for weeks that it wasn't a close competition.
It was already over.
But I think that reset some expectations for some people who felt like Bailey was going to be the better guy, to not say from the start that 2 weeks earlier it was going to be Milton's job. It wasn't some predestined thing that they wanted to happen, but it was clear that that was what was going to happen once they got him in pads.
Well, I mean, it's kind of like they were telling him that because Brian Maurer thought he had a chance. Remember, and then Milton gets here and just took my job in 5 days or whatever he said. It wasn't your job, Brian. You got to win the job for it to be your job. So let's just make that clear. But also, Milton was the guy almost immediately. I don't know how he couldn't be when you can watch what he does. Listen, if the kid couldn't throw deep balls in practice, do you think they'd put him out there ever?
Mm-mm.
No, ever. They'd have been like, this is such a waste of a talent. Maybe we can put him in there as a package or, you know, get him involved somehow because he can do some things really well. He hits them in practice. It's mental with him. He's going to fix it or he's not. You're not a Hall of Fame baseball player. You're not Derek Jeter on a 2 month, you know, slump. Just got to keep hitting. Got to keep going out there. You're batting. Your place in the lineup has not changed and will not change over 20 years. That's not college football. If he doesn't fix it, the other guys will play. That's what I don't get. You can want Harrison Bailey when he gets in there. You can root for him. It's also really silly to think that there's people that are actively hoping that Milton and or Hooker don't play well, so Bailey can go play. I don't even think he would think that. Seriously. If he's a good teammate, he wouldn't think that. I don't want them to go out there and play bad. I want to win. You want to play? Yeah, but I also want to win. Like, if you're a good teammate, you wouldn't do that. So, I don't know. Truthers are truthers. When the kid plays, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to root for him.
Same.
You know, if Milton plays, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to root for him.
I want everybody who takes the field for Tennessee to have success because, again, winning is good for everything from business here at the radio station all the way through my blood pressure. Winning is good for all of it. I want to win. I don't believe, and it is for the coaches too, I don't believe any coach has ever put somebody out there that they did not believe gave their team the best chance to win that week.
Even when they're confused.
And that's when they're watching... You know, and sometimes it's wrong. Look, sometimes it's wrong.
Oh, yeah, they make mistakes all the time.
But they're doing it with more information than any of us have.
Bottom line, if you are that much of a baller, the system is tailored to you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened with Milton.
Yeah.
They tailored it to him. And Hooker can play the same game.
Yep.
Not that complicated.
All right, tomorrow we'll be back here, but tomorrow we'll be telling you about Image Matters. So they're doing virtual, so we're doing virtual for them, but it'll be about Image Matters tomorrow. Yeah. Logan, thank you. We'll see you then. Thanks for all the calls. Seriously, even if when you disagree, we love to hear from you.
For sure.
We'll do that again tomorrow on the Eric Haines Show.
Bye.
Thanks, Papa Murphy's.